Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
Oh, we tried.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. You can swing by and visit them Tuesday through Saturday with... And they have great live music happening on Thursday, July 26th, The Other Sun. Friday, July 27th, Bottoms Up Blues Gang. And Saturday, July 28th, Alligator Wine with their Grateful Dead tribute. You can find all these events and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I will be back out at Naked Vine on August 14th for my singer-songwriter storytelling show with Anna Shainoff, Bobby Stevens, and Matt Wynn. So keep an eye out for that event coming up soon. Again, everything nakedvine.net. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Jason Detroit, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Fressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Jason Detroit.
Hiya.
Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to my home.
Yeah. Thanks for having me over. This is very exciting. Been hanging out with Hank and Carl.
The doggos, yeah.
Just having a good old time. This is cool because, like, you've been on the show a few different times now.
I guess three that I can remember. Is that right?
That you can remember.
Because, well, we did Bass Amp and Dano.
Right.
We did the joint Stars Go Out and Ben Diesel podcast, and then we did one. Hank says hi as well, and we did one with Ben Diesel too.
Yeah.
Have we done two with Ben Diesel or just one? Or was that joint one was the first one with the new lineup, right?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I don't think we've done like a singular one since, right, Matt and Joey joined. But yeah, so it's nice to be here.
So fourth appearance then as a performer.
Yeah, and we did two at DK's house, and DK actually just moved out of that house. So.
Yeah, I was stopped by to visit him the other day, dropped off a t-shirt and ticket for him.
Oh yeah, I need to get a t-shirt as well. I need to get stocked up on that.
Yeah.
But I figured, the best Jason Detroit environment would be me at home with the dogs grilling. That's pretty
sure.
Much, that's my zen spot where I like to be, so.
Yeah. Why Detroit? Where's Jason Detroit? Where's this born at?
So it was funny because Chris Ward played, he like debuted the first Jason Detroit song on KDHX, and he like mused about that a little bit, like why is it, and I wish there was a cool story behind it. There's really not. In middle school, I was in the play Guys and Dolls, and the main character was Nathan Detroit, and I just thought Jason Detroit kind of sounded like Nathan Detroit, and it was like just something I could do. So it actually was just like a name I used for like Twitter and like gamer tags, like Jason Detroit or Jason Detroit or Jason the Orphan are rarely, if ever, taken on most video game formats. So it allows me to have a name without using my like numbers or characters. I hate that. So
yeah,
it just kind of grew out of that. And then when I needed a name to call this, I just was like, oh, well, I'll do that because now I don't have to change my Twitter name or anything like that. So it makes it easy.
Yeah. Have you had anybody like that you used to game with that found your music or something or anything like that yet? Or
not really.
I guess after this comes out, then everybody will.
Maybe. You know, well, yeah.
All the fans will know.
They'll be coming in waves after that. It's... Honestly, I'm not a big online gamer. Like, I got an Xbox One not too long ago, and I pretty much just play, like, regular games. I've played Madden against people online before, but I get so mad, I can't do it. Because it's about, I would say, the number of drinks that it takes me to go from, like, playing it safe and, like, running it three downs and maybe a couple small passes to just going for it every time and, like, never punting on fourth is, like, maybe two or three whiskey drinks, and then I'm just in the trenches losing to some guy, probably like a 12-year-old kid from Albuquerque, with like 72-3, and I can't handle it. I don't have the emotional maturity to play online gaming.
I did some for a little while, especially Madden. Like, that's usually my game of choice. And it seems like they would always, like, quit. Like, you'd be playing, and you'd be beating them pretty bad, and then they'd just quit, and I was like, oh, what's the fun of this?
It's like the equivalent of, like, I remember my sister and I were, when we were younger, we used to get in fights playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater. They're both trying to make as much noise as possible. Playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater, because if one of us would, like, mess up on that first level going down the ramp, then you'd hit reset real quick to, like, start over and not mess up. And we had a rule, you were supposed to ask to do that. But more often than not, it was just in the heat of the moment, you'd do it. And
Yeah.
But we, you know, we still talk and stuff. We got over that, so we're doing okay. But it's been I guess a couple people on Twitter have, like, after I posted the music on Bandcamp, I got a few followers that were just for Jason Detroit, but that's also had, like, all the bullshit I've been posting for like 8 years. So hopefully I don't dig too far back in there.
All right.
Although it hasn't gotten much hanky. But can I trade you for a bone? Can I trade you for a bone? That would be so nice. It's just so loud. Here you go. What do you have instead?
This one doesn't squeak, though.
I know, it doesn't. It's gone. It's gone. I don't have it. Just take this instead. Good boy. Reject your bone. I reject your bone. That's fine. You don't have opposable thumbs, so I win.
I just think that'd be a funny idea, though, too. Like, the way, how much shit talking happens on online gaming stuff. And, like, because my roommate was big into it. He played a ton of the Call of Duty and all that. Well, like, so, like, he would, we'd just be hanging out watching TV, and you could hear him, like, screaming, cursing at these people online.
Oh,
and stuff.
For sure.
And it always made me laugh. But, like, I just imagine if they found out, like, your music and stuff, and then just, like, start ripping, you know, making it personal and ripping on your music too. And
that's something that I encounter with Ben Diesel, not as much as I used to, but so back in the right after the election and stuff, I found myself constantly embroiled with people online, like, arguing about different things. And on Facebook, I don't have my real job listed. I haven't for a few years, just because people are crazy and they'll dox and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Not that I'm, like, posting super offensive things or whatever, but, like, you can't tell these days. Like, people are nuts on Facebook and stuff. But I used to, like, so my main employment on there is listed as Ben Diesel. That's guitar and singer Ben Diesel. And I cannot tell you the amount of times that I've been in arguments with people, and they'll be like, hey, I just listened to your band and it sucks. And I'm like, dude, thanks for the listens. Like, yeah, we just got 0.000007 cents off of your spite. And, like, it doesn't make me any difference. I mean, if I was, like, trying to get rich and famous with it or something, maybe I'd take it more to heart. But it's like, I could give a shit. We're arguing on Facebook. Right. And, like, it's more funny to me that you took the 4 minutes of your time to, like, hunt down my band's music and listen to it just to tell me it sucks. When even probably if you really liked it, you probably would have told me it sucked anyway, so it doesn't make me any difference. But it's, I could definitely see that happening if someone just, like, snaked me out and was like, hey, you know what? You suck at this game, and also you suck at music, too. And I was like, I know. That's why I'm not. I met my old neighbor. He took video games, like, super seriously, and we shared, it was kind of like a duplex, like, shotgun-style house. And if I ever went over there to play video games with him, like, it was just because, you know, it'd been a day or whatever, I wanted to go decompress, like, because video games should be fun. I've never taken them super seriously. And, like, he would get so mad, like, because I'm not good at Halo, not good at Rocket League, I'm not good at, like, any of these online multiplayer games we play, and he'd be like, you suck, you're messing all this up. Like, you get genuinely mad, and I was like, dude, I'm never gonna care even like an iota as much as you care about this. He'd like make me sign in on different accounts so it wouldn't reflect on his account. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But it's like, I mean, if video games are supposed to be fun in the first place and you're obviously never gonna be a professional gamer,
right,
why get so bent out of shape? I don't know.
Yeah.
I like Fallout. That's my favorite game to play. It's you just wander through a post-nuclear war wasteland, and it's great. It's just huge. You can just get lost in it for hours. That's what I need. Like, I need something that'll just allow my brain to shut down and just focus on that, and that'll do it. I can't fight 12-year-olds on Madden anymore. I don't have patience for it.
All right. Yeah. I haven't gamed in a long time. I have more fun like with the nostalgia of it, like going back and playing, you know, Super Mario Bros. On NES or, you know, whatever, the older games, even 64, Mario Kart and Blitz and all that stuff. Like, I mean, those are, I have more fun with that than I do like all the high tech graphics and stuff in the new ones. Like,
I think that, you know, like if I had to think back to like what's a perfect Zen, like wonderful feeling I could recapture, it would be like what I suggested for your 600th episode, like literally just chilling in the basement with friends with like some Mountain Dew Code Red and some pizza rolls and playing like N64 Super Smash Brothers. Like, I remember those just being like never ending like fun nights of like, you know, you get to find out which of your friends is a dick and is always going to throw you off the edge with Donkey Kong, and you know, whoever's house it is, they get to be Star Fox. That was always, but like, you know, playing that until like 2 or 3 in the morning, then falling asleep to like some shitty anime or something. But it's, I've always had more fun playing video games with friends. Like, all right, I would much rather be chilling with someone and playing them than sitting by myself. And Nikki and I have an N64, and we'll hook it up occasionally and play some GoldenEye. She's actually really good at it, and it pisses me off. Like, she destroys me at GoldenEye. Although we played it, what's the bar down? It's not Parlor. But there's a bar downtown, not like in the Grove or where was Mardi Gras? That was off Cherokee, right? It's like it has like arcade games and like pool tables and stuff. Right. And they had N64 on a projector on a wall. Mm-hmm. And Nikki and I played some GoldenEye. And I got most professional and most deadly. I won that game, so.
Nice.
I carry that like a badge of honor.
Yeah, man, GoldenEye was, that was a big deal, man. It changed everything for us as a, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, that was, that game was so good.
Like that and Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
I remember we had a buddy we used to play with who, he just didn't understand the concept behind these games. And like anytime someone would start shooting, and it was like four people playing at once, no matter where it was, even if it wasn't around him, he would just start spray and pray like wherever he was. And it's like, you know, just because you hear the, like, we're all going to hear the gunshots because it's all coming from the same TV. All
right.
But, yeah, it's, it was, I mean, that was when, you know, I remember when you first started getting, like, PS2 and PS3 games, and it was like, you had to load them for hours, and, like, the only time you could play them with someone else is online, and it's like, that sucks. Like, I just want to play a video game with my friends. This is stupid.
All right. Yeah.
But.
Well, So Jason Detroit is now in studio recording the debut EP.
Perpetually in studio.
Yeah.
We Jason Detroit, the recorded stuff is myself. I do the guitar, the bass, and the vocals, and then like occasionally some keys or auxiliary stuff. And then my buddy David, who works for who I met at Brown and Crouppen when I worked there, he does the drumming and he kind of engineers the whole thing. And super nice guy, super busy dude. So it's kind of few and far between. Plus, those in Florissant. So I try to go out there like once every couple months. But we actually started recording this in like 2015. So it's been like 3 years going. And I never really planned on doing anything with it. It was just like, back when I first started with it, Ben Diesel was still a three-piece, and I was writing songs that I wanted to do, but I didn't have the capability to play them with Ben Diesel because there was only me playing guitar. So I started going over there to just basically like record these songs so I could more or less hear them and like just have fun with it, and there was never a deadline or a timeline for it. And then as I started recording more and like it started to, you know, I was still writing while Ben Diesel obviously has gone through several reformations, but I would still write songs every now and then. I was like, this doesn't feel like a Ben Diesel song. Like, I want to use this for something else. And I would just go over there and record it. And then I finally like set it at a number, and I actually have more stuff written for other Jason Detroit projects like ready to go, but I'm not doing anything with it until I finish this one, which is like why I want to finish this so bad. But I think it's fun. Like, it's the people I showed it to, you know, they said it's different than Ben Diesel, like not drastically so, but also like, you know, noticeably different. And it's fun to just kind of be able to branch out and, I kind of have that autonomy. Like, I love working with, Dan and Joey and Matt. They're amazing musicians. And nine times that, like every time I bring them a new song, it ends up sounding 1,000 times better than I ever pictured in my head. But there's like something fun about like writing a song and being able to like control every single part and like write every part of it. So it's cool to just go out to David's and like be like, I got this riff, let's build on it. And then, you know, we'll lay the guts down, and I typically try to come home with a rough mix that day, but you know, songs get lost and stuff. But what's coming out in at the end of August is 7 tracks, and they kind of have a running theme. And like I said, I've got more stuff like written and ready to go, but I won't touch it until it's ready to go with this previous thing. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So there's 1 track released, right? That's
yes.
I guess that's the one Chris debuted?
Yeah. So that one is the shortest one by far. It's like 1 minute and 20 seconds maybe.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a love song. I don't write love songs typically, but it was for my current girlfriend, Nikki, love of my life. And she, I just wrote it as kind of a poem one day when I was on my way to work at this terrible job that I hated being. And I was thinking about like the ideas of modern romance and like what is, you know, like with the dating scene, like it was so different when like, I came out of a 3-year relationship, or like almost a 3-year relationship, and then went into like another almost 2-year relationship. And when I came out of that, it was like Tinder and Bumble and get him, Hanky. It was like Tinder and Bumble and all that stuff. And it was just like such a new world. So then I was like, what does modern love look like? And it's like, it's deleting your Tinder. It's deleting your Bumble, like getting rid of all that stuff. And then just kind of goofed around with that. So, just wrote this fun little riff, and that was like, all right, this is gonna be the opening track to Jason Detroit, and I'm gonna put together an EP. And that was kind of like, once I heard that finished, I was like, okay, we're gonna get this done. Yeah. So, I delete my Tinder for you, Bumble and OkCupid too. Nothing would give me peace of mind like this being my last pickup line. I won't promise the world to you unless that's something I get drunk and do. But if we wake up and you still want the earth, let me rip a hitter and I'll get to work.
That's swipe or no swipe?
Swiper, like it's from like from Door Explorer. Swipe or no swiping.
Okay.
So, it's, you know.
And available at Bandcamp?
Yes, for pay what you want. So download it for free. It's only 1 minute and 20 seconds. You've got the time, I promise.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I do. This one, it was a little more, you know, in comparison to what you were doing with Vin Diesel and stuff, and still are. But like, I feel like this was a little bit more funny to it. Like, had a little, you know, definitely some more. Like, you guys definitely have some fun in that band, but
right.
Like, I felt like this was a little bit more of a fun side of what. There's like some undertones in there and stuff, especially being talking about Tinder and stuff. Even though you said it's a love song, but it's still kind of goofy.
I try, like with Ben Diesel, I don't like to speak for the whole band if I can help it. Like, you know, I'll write breakup songs or stuff like that, which I mean, you know, that was like the first EP that we did was really kind of breakup heavy.
Hey.
And then the next project was a little bit more fun, like, because I was in this lovely relationship with Nikki and I didn't have sad, brokenhearted things to write about. So, it was allowed me to branch out, but it's kind of fun. Like some of the newer stuff that I was talking about, I have a song about, Ken McElroy, who was from Skidmore, Missouri, and was shot in broad daylight, surrounded by 40 people after like terrorizing this town for 20 years and no one was ever convicted or like tried on it. I just kind of wanted to do something like about famous Missouri crimes because there's so many just weird like stories about here. Like, you ever heard the story about the guy? I forget his name, it escapes me right now, but it was during the flood in 93 and his wife worked in St. Louis and he worked. You can slam it, go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. It's cool. Will you do me a favor and check on the potatoes in the oven? Thank you. And so he was like on an all-day bender and he decided that he wanted to keep partying. So he went to this property that was like kind of bordering the, it was in Quincy, Illinois, and he removed a few sandbags to like flood the road so his wife couldn't get back, and he ended up flooding like 350 acres of farmland or something like that. Like, and also like there, I don't know if there was ever conviction because he was just drunk at a bar bragging about it, but they were never like, they couldn't prove it. So just stuff like that, like, which I don't know that I would necessarily ever write with Ben Diesel just because it's kind of, you know, we don't have a particular subject matter, but then we kind of do, if that makes sense, you know? Sure. But I don't, you know, it's just, it kind of varies whenever it bounces around, but it's nice to have that capability too, because Jason Detroit songs, for the most part, aside from like playing acoustic or like playing shows solo, I don't know that I'll ever take the time to like construct a full band and play Jason Detroit songs. And I could always play them with Ben Diesel if I wanted to. But it's just, it's kind of like Matt Saylor with Mayor Sheriff, you know, like when he plays live, it's typically just him, unless he can construct a full band, but all of his songs are like full band and they kick ass. So
yeah.
It's kind of a, you know, it's just a weird juxtaposition to kind of like not be able to accomplish that same sound that you have in the studio.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what will come of it, but it's more of a personal, like, it's, I just want to do it. Like, sure. I want to finish it and get it out there.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, it's just cool that you have the resources.
Exactly.
Right? So you have a friend that can help you and all that stuff.
Yeah, and actually DK doesn't have room in his new apartment for all his recording shit and his drums, so that's actually in my basement right now, too. So I'm hoping to teach myself how to record working on the next Jason Detroit thing. I'm going to try to do it myself.
Yeah.
And I'm god-awful at drums. I'm so bad at drums. Like, I don't know what it is, but I'm hoping to maybe teach myself drums a little bit, too. I'll have to piece it together. Like, remember that video back in the day where the guy, like, does single hits and then it all pieces together to be like a real song? I'm just gonna have to do like snare and then I'll add kick later.
I would have no idea how to
oh yeah
play drums or anything, and I'm, I don't know, music's never been my thing. I love it, but like I've never been able to play, like,
yeah.
Maybe one day I'll try to teach myself how to play something, you know.
I'll give you guitar lessons.
Yeah.
I used to give them in Columbia, except I only did it for like a month, and this guy said he couldn't afford me to pay me anymore, but then he asked if I would paint his house instead. I don't know why I thought I could paint houses, but I said okay. So I painted his house for a little bit, and then I brought my friend over, and then my friend spilled a bucket of red paint on his carpet, and then we didn't paint his house anymore. I don't know how that, it was just so weird, like, this grown man was like, after like three lessons, was like, I can't afford for these lessons anymore, but will you come paint my house? I was like, I guess, man, what? Hey! No. Hanky. Actually, I'm gonna go check the stick
real quick.
Sorry, I've returned. I had to go baste my meat.
If you know what I mean.
Know what I mean? A sphincter says what?
Yeah, man, that was fun.
That was fun.
That was a good night. Yeah, you may recognize Jason as his work in the promo video we shot. I guess the calls have been coming in since then, right?
Yeah. Acting work is lining up. One place wants me to be a wacky wave and inflatable arm flowing tube man after seeing my acting skills. So. Pretty stoked on that. Not gonna put all my eggs in that basket, sure. Though, you know.
I mean, it was really great though to watch you like go into character. You know, you went into the bathroom and threw water all over your head,
It's funny because I was like, we've got a limited amount of time before my hair is dried and sticking straight up. And like in the video, it's kind of like starting to do that. Like, it doesn't last long.
Yeah, but you went full Christopher Walken, man. You were really a method actor, man.
I love Christopher Walken. Yeah. I believe I read somewhere once that how he gets his inflection is by taking all the punctuation out of his screenplay, his scripts when he gets to them, and he just reads them as if there is no punctuation, just kind of accents it himself. Oh, so yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense when you consider it. Did you ever see the Saturday Night Live that he hosted where Tim Meadows comes to take a census?
I don't know.
I'll have to send you the video. Yeah. It's so funny because he's like, he just lives alone in this apartment in New York with him and his bobcat, and it's like he has his wife is a bobcat, and it's just ridiculous. But well, anyway,
it's hard to like when you think of that. Like, it's hard to think of anything else from that episode. That episode, except for cowbell, you know, yeah. Like that's obviously the
of course
one that was huge.
That's true. Yeah. So I think my all time favorite Saturday Night Live ever was the one where Garth Brooks was the host and Chris Gaines was the musical guest.
Yeah.
It was just such a surreal pop culture moment, and like that skit where Tracy Morgan is calling him out and then tells Lorne Michaels that he obviously knows who he is and who the difference is. Like, they just played it so well. And like, God, Chris Gaines. I told someone that the other day and it blew their mind. They were like, wait, what? And I was like, you've never heard of Chris Gaines? I was like, it amazes me that we live in the internet age and we never just like grab strangers on the street and be like, are you aware of Chris Gaines? Do you know that this happened?
Right. Well, I think just recently some people figured out that Donald Glover is Childish Gambino and stuff.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
How you could not realize those. Like,
right.
I mean, at least in the Chris Gaines thing, it was before the internet for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, Childish Gambino and Donald Glover, obviously the same. And I mean, Donald Glover started off doing, and he was in Derek Comedy, like those videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And like the film school one and the Spelling Bee, like that's where I first saw him, and that was maybe college. And I never watched Community, but I've heard it's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, so, but
he's actually has one of my we were talking Twitter earlier. One of my favorite jokes he has on his stand-up, like, was that on Twitter he's Don Glover, but it looks like Dong Glover.
Oh, really?
And that made me crack up.
Like, that's funny.
But yeah, he's. But I just think it's funny though. People like, I guess if you're just listening to music on the radio, you don't know what he looks like, and then you don't really put it together. Maybe that's. But still, like, everybody should have known that. But
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I was just thinking because he was just on SNL as the host and musical guest, so
yeah.
a little while back. But my favorite Garth Brooks hosting one is the Devil Can't Write a Love Song.
Oh my God, that's like, such a good one. That's the same episode,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Then he's I sing I do that Fast Car on the Highway all the time, and like no one has any idea what I'm talking about. Fast Car on the Highway on the Byway, Mr. Robotron.
What was the other one? Like Fred Slacks or something like that? Or
there's
something?
A guy named Fred and he's got a pair of slacks. Ooh, Fred's got slacks. And then when he's walking out, he's like, take her easy.
Yeah.
She's my lady. Hey, that's pretty good, right? No, get out of here.
Yeah. But I do that all the time whenever like people are tuning up here when we're getting ready to play live. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Is it human in here? So
it's the guitar. It's the E.
What is that? What is the kind of guitar is that anyway? It's made from the bones of fornicators.
It's a Fender.
Classic Will Ferrell, man. That was some good times.
I love that. But yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
I miss those days. I still think current SNL is funny, though.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of people are like, yeah, the only good SNL is like, I mean, I don't know. Like, you can go back and say, like, the only good SNLs were Belushi era, or like, but like, they're funny, but I mean, if you go back and you don't have any frame of reference to like Iran-Contra or like the Nixon administration, then you're not going to get any of those jokes.
Yeah.
You know, like
definitely there's generational stuff, but I appreciate it all. Like
I do too.
Yeah,
I'm a diehard fan. Like
right.
I find I found something to like in pretty much every season. I feel like
sure.
that Garth Brooks has the same. It's got the Rachel Dratch and Jimmy Fallon doing the Boston thing when he works at like Cracker Barrel or something, yeah. And he's like, "Well, I'll tell you why I'm not getting a job. You're coming here. You smell like a basket of screwdrivers. Like you told me vodka didn't smell." And he's like, "I don't know."
Yeah.
But
there's always like. I mean, not every sketch is a winner, but, like, you know, there's always, I enjoy every season, and it's fun to kind of change with the cast and mm-hmm. stuff, and, like, find as they start developing their own voice and stuff, too. And
I really like Taron Killam.
Oh, yeah.
I really like Pete Davidson. Probably my favorite sketches that are on there, or that were on there, they're not really anymore, but, like, the Californians I thought were so funny. Yeah. And then when... I forget their names now, but it was the two people, like, they were set in different scenarios, like a fast food or a library or whatever, but it was, like, calling people together to get fight, like, for announcement, and then these two would always just go off on everybody and, like, state everything they hated about them and then found out that it wasn't them getting fired. It was Bobby Moynihan and that one girl, I can't think of her name, but Taron Killam always just plays a super creepy guy who just stands in the back, like, with his eyes kind of half closed, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg kind of got big out of there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought Brooklyn Nine-Nine was really funny. Yeah. Sad to see that was going. I think NBC picked it up, though. Or someone did. ABC,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, something I heard that I think is going to be revived.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Well, we did, speaking of playing live on the show, we did do a little live jam.
We did.
Here in the living room. We did For the Best.
For the Best, yeah.
And this is due out on the EP, right?
This will be on the EP, yeah. This is actually the first, like, Jason Detroit song I did, quote-unquote. And it's still not finished, and we started recording it in 2015. So hopefully it'll be finished soon. I think the problem was they just kept getting backlogged. Like, I'd write a new song, and then we'd, like, start recording that and just never catch up. And then, but, yeah, this is a good one. This is an old one. I probably wrote this when I lived in St. Charles still. So, yeah, long time ago.
Your dad wished me a happy birthday day after the fact. It made me laugh, not in a bad way, just caught me off guard, I guess. Made me think of all the weekend days we were obliged to spend with you two working things out and me slowly getting lit. First time since we moved out, your family has said hi. I think they knew before we did, this wasn't for all time. I can't say that I blame them or that I miss them, I'd be lying. What happened between us is for the best, and I think we're doing fine. I'm doing fine. Some changes, I grew tired of apologies. Smoked out in the attic, hoping that you had fallen asleep. I'm sorry I got so drunk at your best friend's engagement party. I knew I didn't love you and that you hated every part of me. The groom-to-be said to me, I bet that you'll propose within the year, and I said, I'll take that bet. As I finished my seventh beer and I blacked out on the ride home, slurring all my words, I don't remember what I said, but I meant everything you heard.
You said based on
based on a true story with a relationship that was on its way out, and yeah, the just kind of it's kind of biographical in context. We you know, I don't know that there's really any kind of embellishment whatsoever. Although I will say that the ending line, I don't remember what you said or what I said, but I meant everything I said, or I don't remember what you heard, but I meant everything I said, actually is not from my life, but it is from one of my all-time favorite stories, which was some buddies I lived in Columbia with went down to the lake one weekend, and this guy was dating this girl, and they were like constantly fighting like cats and dogs. And they went down, you know, the best place to blow it out is the lake where you go to Shady Gators. They can fight in front of everybody when you're hammered at like 10 p.m. after day drinking. And apparently she just like screamed at him and berated him on the dance floor for like 30 minutes. And she was blacked out. And the next morning when they woke up, she like rolled over. And the first thing she said to him was like, "I don't remember what I said to you last night, but I know that I meant every word of it." And I was like, that's the most brutal thing I've ever heard. And I was like, all right, I got to incorporate that somehow. So that's where it landed.
Yeah. I think that's fun, man. I love when, like, you know, you can kind of borrow from real life and find when it finds the right fit into a song and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I really envy songwriters and artists who can, like, create these entire fictional worlds, like, and do concept albums and stuff. Like, I've always wanted to do one of those, but I don't know, like, it's so taxing to, like, I can make up goofy, like, dicking around musical funny stuff all the time, like, it's observational, but to really, like, like, sit and tell a compelling story with music that matches and creates a mood and, like, engages listeners is such a hard thing to do, and I've always just found that it's easier for me to write from experience of, like, real things and create language around that as opposed to just creating something out of nothing. Maybe one day, but yeah, it's hard to do.
Yeah, one of my favorites, Will Hogue. He's able to do, like, create these stories and stuff, and like, and that he delivers them with such conviction that people believe they're for real. And like, you know, it'd be stories of whatever, you know, cheating and different whatever it is, and like people are like, "You did that, didn't you?" And he's like, "No, it's just not always a true story."
Sure.
You know, it's like they're just characters and things that I make, you know. But it's just funny how, you know, an artist can tell you that story and you believe it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's not all of them are based on true stories, but this one for the best was so like
it was. It so, was. Yeah. Several true stories.
Yeah.
But.
But do you, like I said, check out jasondetroit.bandcamp.com.
Yep.
And you can download the single for now. But we will have EP coming soon.
Hopefully.
What you said, three?
August 31st is what I'm hoping for.
3 years in the making?
It's 3 years in the making. Yeah, it was. We were at the studio the other day, and I was like, "Dude, we've been doing this for a long time. Like, we need to finish it up."
Highly
and
anticipated.
He was like... he's like, "It hasn't been that long." And then a few minutes later, he's like, "Oh shit." He's like, "The last time I sent you a mix of this song was 2016. I was like, "I know. We've been doing this for a long time." So I remember, it was funny. We ran into... Nikki, what show was that where we ran into Ryan Wasilba or whatever? Was that Jeff Rosenstock at Off-Broadway?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. We ran into him, and I had just come from the studio that day. And Nikki was like, "Let me ask you a question." She's like, "If a guy goes into the studio and he's there for 8 hours, should he, like, pretty much finish a song?" And Ryan's like, "Yes." And I was like, "I don't know what to tell you. I don't know."
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, coming out soon. Where you said you want to do physical copies as well?
Yes. I don't need to. But I would really like to create some physical copies just to have and give out. I'm really, you know, I'm proud of how it's coming along. I'm very critical on myself, but it's still kind of one of those things like I wanted to do, and I'm glad. And I think part of this kind of fun too is like to be able to do this and like not have any pressure because it's just me, so I can literally just do whatever I want with it. Like, I could sell them, or I could use them as coasters, or, you know, it's like whatever.
Well, we had a pretty nice discussion before we turned the mic on about vinyl and stuff, and I'm so obviously, you know, you're into collecting the physical copies of stuff and stuff. So I think it.
Yes, some would say too much. So.
But you know, I think it's great because like it was, a lot of people are kind of just going the digital route, and it is cool. Like as I mean, I have Spotify. It's nice to have every album in your pocket.
For sure.
But I enjoy having that tangible product as well. So
yeah, it's become like it's such a nice like I would love to do both Ben Diesel and potentially Jason Detroit on vinyl someday. I think that'd be really fun, just to have a physical copy of that. And like, I don't know, it's become such a weird thing. Like Nikki didn't really mess with vinyl before we started dating, and I only had a handful of records when we first started, but it sort of became this like this ritual, you know, on like Saturday or Sunday mornings, whatever we had free, like we'd get up and make some coffee and like put on a record and just kind of hang out and relax. And like, it was a really nice reprieve. Like, and there's something about listening to a vinyl that kind of like compels you to listen to the whole thing, you know, like from start to finish.
Right. And there's no skip.
But, exactly. Yeah, so. And it's something I look forward to. Like when we have a free weekend, which is few and far between during the summer, but like when we can get up in the morning and throw on a record, or we'll do it like when we're getting ready to go out or something. Like, I just really like the aesthetic. Earlier this spring, a touring band came through and they stayed the night here. And when we got back after the show, like just hung out and listened to vinyl and stuff. Like, it's a nice way to, it's great for like having friends over and just hanging out and like, you know, not having the TV blaring in the background or something like that. But I would, yeah, hopefully I think Joey's actually looking into getting a press. So fingers crossed, we'll just be able to press our own stuff as opposed to waiting. Like lead times are like 6 to 7 months typically. It's pretty crazy. Right. But
yeah, I know my friend Al Holiday just recently. I don't know about the press part, but he has a reel-to-reel tape.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to start recording.
Very cool.
Taped for vinyl and stuff. So it's like, you know, he's a big enthusiast himself, and so.
Very cool.
But yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I think there's some places that are getting better because there is more demand for it today, because vinyl's made such a huge,
yeah,
you know, resurgence. So there's more plants opening up, but yeah, there's still like I say, in 6 to 8 months sometimes on that.
It's crazy long, yeah.
But yeah, maybe one day we'll have a Jason Detroit vinyl.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
It'd be a 7-inch though. It wouldn't be an LP. Right. Maybe someday. I don't know. I keep telling Sailor I want to do a split with him, like a Mayor Sheriff Jason Detroit split.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to do too.
There you go.
I'm lucky to be in a band with so many talented dudes. Like everyone in that band is so good.
Yeah.
It's nice too, because it, like, one of the main things I love about Jason Detroit is just that I can use it as kind of a safety net for other stuff. Like if we book a show or something and for some reason someone can't play, I can still go play it, and you know, it's not a big deal. Or just kind of randomly, I've played maybe 2 shows so far, but it's just fun, you know. Like, it's fun to get up there. I did one at St. Louis and one at Foam, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's goofy. It's just kind of fun. I think the first one was at Mayor Sheriff's Turkey Bowl. Matt did like one of those at St. Louis. I don't think he's gonna do it anymore now because he got to rent the room for $150 or whatever. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. Well, you can get involved with Jason Detroit on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We said,
yeah.
And you can keep an eye out for some more dates coming soon, and keep an eye out for that EP release. Are you hoping to do a party? Or
I think so. I think a party would probably be the best way to go about it, because otherwise I gotta like teach everyone how to play those songs and stuff. I'd rather just get drunk and listen to the album, honestly.
Yeah.
It sounds like way more fun.
Yeah, I think, yeah, this seems to be a little bit more of those kind of coming around, the listening parties and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, you know, because yeah, like playing a show is cool when you know we got the album and stuff and to sell them, but I think a lot of people are just, they're kind of going that route too. They just want to hang out and have fun, and
yeah,
and people listen to the record or whatever.
Exactly. So, yeah, that sounds good to me.
Instead of having to work the whole time, you know. So
you'll definitely be invited.
All right. Nice. All right, buddy. Well, thank you for doing this, and
of course.
I appreciate everything, and I appreciate you. You know, like I said, your support in the promo video we shot.
Of course,
Barry. One day we'll have to, you know.
Like I said, when Shane Presley asked you to be Christopher Walken, you do it.
Yeah. We'll have to shoot some more of those or something, man. That was a good fun day.
So. I'm down, yeah. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's eat some ribs.
All right, let's do it. Later, buddy.
See ya.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.